गुरुवे नमः कुरुवे गुरुचंद्राय राधिकायै प्रदाय
Shamrani, did you try for Dharma classes August 22nd, Vrindavan?
Yam pravajanta manupetam apeta krityam dvaipayano virahaka taruvajuhava putreti tanmayataya taruvovanedas tam sarvabhuta hridayam munimanatosmi bhaktya vahina aparada lakshay chiptastya kamaditaranga marye kripa maitvam sharanam prapadya vrinde namaste charanaravindam tvaivasmi tvaivasmi na jivami tam vina iti vigyaya radhe tam nayamam charanantike. First I offer my unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Diksha Gurudev, Nitya Lila Pravishta Om Vishnupad, Astotara Satishri Shimad, Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada, and the same unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Shiksha Gurudev, Om Vishnupad, Astotara Satishri Shimad, Srila Bhakti Vedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj, to all of our Guru Varga, and all the assembled devotees. Yesterday we were in the midst of discussing the very fiery and exciting chapter 9 of Sri Jaiva Dharma. As discussed many times, Jaiva Dharma is nothing but a great 900-page explanation of the verse Anyavilasita Sunyam, the definition of pure bhakti, what bhakti is and what bhakti isn't. And you'll see more and more in this ninth chapter exactly what bhakti isn't and exactly what bhakti is. This is a discussion between our hero, Lahiri Mahasaya, and his old childhood friend, who we see is quite a demon, Digambara Chattopadhyaya, who came to deprogram him and bring him so-called back home to Shantipur. So they were discussing what is real civilization, what is material science, who is a civilized person, and Digambara was propounding that Durga is the Supreme Lord, the source of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, the independent primordial power who creates, maintains, and destroys not only all the universes, but even the Supreme Lord, who we consider the Supreme Lord. And that the perfection of life is to eat, drink, and be merry. And then when you get liberated from Maya, in Maya you're a jiva, and Durga is your mother. And then when you get liberated, Durga becomes your wife and you become Sada Shiva. So Advaita Das asked him, "Can I please say something?" So I hope you won't get angry if I say something. So Digambara said, "No, how can I get angry? You're my old childhood friend. I would give my life for you. But even if I got angry, I would know how to not express it outside. I would just keep being polite outside and not express my real feelings. So you can feel free to express whatever you like." So Advaita Das said, "Well, then I'll say it. The civilization material advancement of civilization is nothing but a civilization of deception. People aren't honest. You're taught to speak sweet words just to please others' material senses externally, but inside you're still full of wicked thoughts and deeds. Real simplicity is the path of truth, and real truth is to worship the Chit Vastu, that is Sri Hari, the Vastava Vastu, or the Absolute Truth. In your civilization, there's no good qualities. It's all hypocrisy. Keeping depravity hidden within and pretending to be a nice person and well-dressed externally. The literal meaning of Sanskrit, of civilization, is to be fit for being in an assembly. So really, one should be free from sin and deceit in order to be fit. And the real assembly is the assembly of those following Jiva Dharma, or the eternal religion of the soul. Otherwise, a non-Vaishnava so-called civilization is nothing but a saturation of sin. If you say that civilization means to wear stylish clothes that appeal to others, then I say that a prostitute is more civilized than you civilized people, because her whole life is wearing attractive clothes to appeal to others' senses. Are you still there? Achyuta Krishna Prabhu, are you still there? There was a strange sound on the phone. Everything's fine? Okay. Okay, everything's fine. So a prostitute is the most civilized person then. Actually, the real thing, that what is cloth for? Cloth should be just to cover the body. It should be clean. It should not be smelling. And food should be faultless. That is, it should be pure and nutritious. But you only care for the taste. As you heard yesterday, Digambara loved to eat meat and fish, and he considered that was his worship of Durga. So food should not be for taste, it should be pure and nutritious. Wine and meat is impure. A society that eats wine and meat is nothing but a civilization that's dedicated to sin. And it's nothing but a culture or cultivation of Kali Yuga, the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. And then Digambara said, have you forgotten the Muslim emperor society, how polite and cultured they were in proper etiquette? So Advaita Das replied, this is only worldly. Really, human life should be sinless. A Kali Yuga civilization is only a civilization of hypocrisy. You do something externally to please others, but your own life is full of depravity, immorality. Later on, we'll see that there are five features, according to Digambara himself. There are five features of material science and material civilization. Wine, women, wealth, meat and fish. So then Digambara replied, educated people say that actually the sign of civilization is dressing women in a nice way to hide their faults. Can you imagine what a philosophy this is? And then Advaita replied, your idea of educational people is nothing but a bunch of rogues who exploit others, just like this so-called women's lib. Dress them nice, put them on billboards, just to exploit them. They favor this type of civilization due to their sun scars. They've engaged in so many sins in millions of past births that it's created that kind of impression on their heart, and that's why they made the decision that this is civilization. All of our decisions are based on our Sukritis and sun scars. Whatever I decide at any time in my life, any day. Then Digambara replied, actually, social advancement is accompanied by increased knowledge of the world. And soon, when we get more and more advancement of knowledge, advancement of science, then we'll have a heaven on earth. And Advaita replied, there are two types of knowledge. You talk about knowledge. Actually, the English translation of material science is called Prakriti Vigyan. Vigyan means experiential or realized, what you experience with your senses, knowledge. So Advaita said, actually, Vaishnavas are not against Vigyan. But there are two types of knowledge. And oh, by the way, the difference between Vaishnavism and materialism is that Vaishnavas don't try to hide their faults and be hypocritical, like Srila Raghunath Das Goswami told his mind, oh mind, you're stop incinerating me or burning me by pouring down on me the hot trickling urine of the ass of deception and hypocrisy. Rather, you should resuscitate my very being by pouring upon me the nectar of the songs of Govinda. So, Vaishnavas realize and admit their faults, and then they pray to superior Vaishnavas and to the Lord Himself to be free from their faults. Not cosmetically cover it over to get appreciation. So Advaita Das is saying, for those of you who came late, this is the ninth chapter of Jiva Dharma, the discussion between the devotee, Lahiri Mahasaya, who now got a new name from his Param Guru. That is, new name is Advaita Das. And he's childhood friend Digambara Chattopadhyaya came to bring him home, so-called home to Shantipur, and come back to atheistic worship of Durga and Smarta Brahmanism. So Advaita Das says, there are two types of knowledge. One is paramartic or transcendental knowledge, and that knowledge is in relation to the eternal truth. And then there's lokik, or material knowledge, and that knowledge is in relation to this illusory world, temporary world. These days, nowadays, transcendental knowledge is not increasing. There's less and less people taking to it. And now, it's hardly pure, it's hardly found anywhere in its pure state. Mostly it's found in a distorted state, like Smarta Brahmana. Ism is a distortion of pure knowledge. But this material science, material knowledge, knowledge in relation to the world, is on the increase. Does the jiva have an eternal relationship with this material knowledge? Those who are interested in material pursuits, in their own sense gratification, they're interested in material knowledge. They're duplicitous and very, very unfortunate. And Digambara says, why do you say we're unfortunate? So Advaita replies, as I told you before, human life is very short. We have to prepare for our eternal life. Foolish people, they don't at all take heed of preparing. They're only interested in material knowledge, caught up in that material knowledge, and they forget their own reality. Material knowledge is only meant, yeah, you can use material knowledge, but only to maintain yourself, only to maintain your life. Otherwise, there's no need for it. And there's no need for material civilization. How many days will this earthly glitter remain? And will it save you at death? Digambara said, ugh! I can see that I'm in the association of an unyielding renunciate. Are you trying to say that society has no function? So Advaita Das replied, well, that depends on the society. A non-Vaishnava society actually has no function. It has no use. Now I have another question for you. You told me what your conception of civilization is. Now, what is your conception of material science? So Digambara says, well, material science, according to the Tantra Shastra, that is the Shastra or so-called Shastra that glorifies Durga as supreme, is whatever knowledge, whatever skill, whatever beauty is in this material world. That becomes military science, medical science, musical science, dance science, astronomy science. This world is produced by Prakriti, actually by my mother, Mother Nistarani, or Maya. And this world is full with all kinds of varieties that are produced by her potencies. All forms are byproducts of her. And all forms have a corresponding science that relates to that form. When we serve Durga or Mother Nistarani and try to develop science, then what happens is, just by doing that, we become liberated from all of our sins by her mercy. What a crazy philosophy. Vaishnavas, on the other hand, they don't care about these things. But we Shaktas, we know that we get liberation on the strength of material science. Liberation from all suffering, because we're going to have a heaven on earth. In fact, there are many books about this. Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, in our religion, Hakim, our Shakti philosophy, Hakim. So Advaita Das said, no, we are interested in Vigyan. And later on you'll see that he's saying we are Shaktas. Actually, Vaishnavas are the best Shaktas. But now he's saying we are interested in Vigyan. And he quotes one verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.31. For those of you who have Jagadharma with you, you can turn to page 221. A very, very nice verse by Krishna himself is speaking to Brahma. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Jnanam Paramaguyam Me Yad Vijnanam Samanvitam Sarahasyam Tadangam Cha Grahana Gaditam Maya. And the meaning of that is, O Brahma, knowledge of me is non-dual. That is this Vijnan. This knowledge of me is non-dual. And yet, even though it's non-dual, means one without a second, it has four distinct divisions. Gyan, Vigyan, Rahasya, and Tad Anga. A jiva cannot understand this by his own intelligence, but you can understand it by my mercy. Gyan is my nature, or my form. And my relationship with my potency is called Vigyan. The jiva is my secret, Rahasya. And Pradhan, this material nature, is my Gyan Anga, a limb of my Gyan, my Swarup. Of course, that has to be explained, because I certainly can't even understand that. So, Advaita Das kindly explains. Before this creation, Bhagavan was pleased with Brahma's worship and instructed him on the tenets of pure Vaishnava Dharma. In other words, this is a verse about Vaishnava Dharma, Jiva Dharma, Sanatan Dharma, Pada Dharma, Prem Dharma. O Brahma, I'm explaining to you this most confidential knowledge of myself, which is endowed with realization, which contains the mystery of prema. So that's the real secret, that the jivas and me have prema together, and which is composed of the angas of sadhan bhakti. Accept all this from me. Of course, Digambara doesn't accept the Srimad Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Gita, and Advaita Das knew this. So he's just speaking to cut the conversation short so that Digambara would make it a point never to come back.
Maharani, I didn't understand why Jivas is the secret.
Because the real mystery, or the real secret, is the jiva's prema with Krishna. The jiva's prema, the jiva's relationship with Krishna, is a great mystery, a great mysterious science that cannot be understood by our own intelligence, but only by... it's a secret. Secret means it can't be known by anybody. So then, Advaita Das continues, there are two kinds of knowledge. One is called Shuddha knowledge, or pure knowledge, which is spiritual by nature, and that knowledge is full of consciousness. And the basis of that knowledge is worship of Vishnu. Then there's Vishaya, or sense gratification knowledge, and that knowledge is attainable through the senses. That's not secret. It's impure, it's useless, and it's in relation to transient objects. And it's only the jiva who is a conditioned soul and wants to remain a conditioned soul should be interested in such knowledge. Therefore, it's not really vigyan. It's not really... Real vigyan is transcendental. Real knowledge is knowledge of the reality, right? If it's not knowledge of reality, how could it be real knowledge? Real knowledge, knowledge of reality. What is the reality? The Chit Vastu, or Krishna. And that's Gyan. And real Vigyan is knowledge of how that reality is different from matter. It's really the same, knowledge of Krishna and knowledge of how Krishna and the jiva is different from matter. It's really the same thing, but still is divided into two, Gyan and Vigyan. So real Vigyan means a true diagnosis of what is material knowledge. It's not material knowledge, it's a diagnosis of material knowledge. Just as Advaita Das is now diagnosing material knowledge. And you'll see as the chapter continues, he's continuing to diagnose it. And what is that diagnosis? The jiva is, who is not in his eternal consciousness, falls into this material knowledge, which has no use in his jiva dharma, in his eternal function. But it's for those who are condemned. Vaishnavas don't condemn. Those who are condemned to karma kanda, or studying the scriptures for heavenly enjoyments, for future material powers, mystic powers, they're actually condemned, but Vaishnavas don't condemn them. They know that that's where they're at, according to their Sukritis and Sanskars. They never criticize anybody. Then Advaita Das said, knowledge of the world is insignificant for those who are pursuing their reality. But they can take advantage, Vaishnavas will take advantage of material science, like they'll take an airplane.
Computer.
And then Digambara said, well, without material science, you know, you Vaishnavas can't do your bhajan. You need us. So you should also get into material science. And Advaita Das said, everybody works according to his inclination. And that's why we have Varnashram. Somebody's inclined towards brahminical life, somebody's inclined towards Sudra life, they're inclined towards being a carpenter, somebody's inclined towards being an engineer, somebody's inclined towards money matters and being a Vaishya or agriculture, and somebody's not inclined towards the material world at all. So everybody works together. And when material science related people serve Vaishnavas consciously, they get Sukritis for advancement. Otherwise, everybody's serving Vaishnavas unconsciously. Like the KLM Airlines is helping Gurudev get to different countries. But they're not doing it consciously, unless they give him a discount. Then it'll be conscious.
Unknowingly
they're serving. And then Digambara said, well, where does inclination come from if you say that everybody is acting according to their inclination? So Advaita Das replied, it all comes from sanskars, impressions on the heart from millions of past births. But Vaishnavas don't have to labor for material scientists, but they can use it. For example, a carpenter may build a singhasana just to make money. So the Vaishnava will take that singhasana, very beautiful, and offer it to the deity. Otherwise, even before there were any singhasanas, or if a Vaishnava doesn't have a singhasana, he could just put Krishna on a box. Sanatana Goswami didn't even offer butter, and it was a hard japati without any salt, but because it was in love, the deity had to accept it. But if there's a singhasana, beautiful, fine. And if bees make honey, that's the inclination of the bees, according to their past karma. So devotees will take that honey and offer it to Krishna, and the bees get Sukriti, unknowingly. If a tree, from a tree you make incense, this is in the Krishna book, Prabhupada wrote, if you offer incense to the deity, then the tree where the incense came from benefits. Therefore, Vaishnavas are really the servants of the universe, the greatest servants of the universe. So Advaita Das said very poetically, therefore, Varnashram turns the wheel, the universal wheel, very beautifully. Krishna's created everything in such a way that everything works together. So then Digambara asks, well, what is Vishnu Maya? And Advaita replied, well, in the Chandi Mahatmya and Markandeya Purana, it's stated that Hari, the Lord's potency of bewilderment, is called Yogamaya. And then Digambara asks, well, then who is Mother Nistarani, my Durga, my mother, my Prakriti? As you remember, yesterday, Advaita Digambara said that Purusha is spirit and Prakriti is matter, and Purusha is male and Prakriti is female, but then they both merge and become one. Then Advaita Das replied, when Digambara asked, who is Mother Nistarani according to you, Vaishnavas? So Advaita Das said, she is Hari's potency. She is Vishnu Maya. And Digambara said, you Vaishnavas have blind faith. Mother Nistarani is beyond, according to the Tantras, Mother Nistarani is beyond nature. But Vishnu Maya is under the modes of nature. So you Vaishnavas are quite fanatical. No philosophy. And Advaita Das said, brother, please don't be angry. We haven't seen each other in such a long time. Now, Vishnu Maya is not independent of Vishnu. She's the functional power. Your philosophy is against all metaphysical truth. That's thinking that Shakti, or the power, is the root. A mother can't, Prabhupada translated in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, the mother or the wife cannot beget children without the husband. So the power, Shakti, can never be independent. Your philosophy, O Digambara, your philosophy is like trying to take flowers from the sky. It's just not, doesn't happen. You need to know the source of that power. According to Vedanta, Shakti, Shakti Mateo Abeda, the power and the powerful are non-different. The power is not separate from the powerful, and the power is subordinate. These are the two qualities of power. Not separate from the powerful and subordinate to the powerful. And you're right that Shakti is the embodiment of consciousness and beyond the modes of nature and has will to act, but only because she's identical with Hari, being his potency, and only because she acts completely according to his desires. You say the power is moving, but that only means that the possessor of the power is moving. Like a powerful person is getting a lot done, well yes, the power is moving. It's the person that's doing the thing. Hari, the Supreme Lord, has one power, only one power. But that power has three functions. Chit, or spiritual, jiva, in between, and jada, or inert matter. Varashya shaktir vivadoiva shuryate. One power is acting in unlimited various ways to appear as many unlimited powers. In fact, when I was just born in 1996, at 26 Second Avenue, Srila Prabhupada, 66. You were born in 76. 66. So, Prabhupada gave an analogy, which I forgot, just slipped me. When he's describing this verse, Parasha Shakti Vivadurvishuyate, that material nature, or all the natures, all the powers, are working so wonderfully, so totally, under Krishna's direction, that they appear to be working automatically and independently. Like I say, finger, come here, scratch my head. And it just comes, like totally under my control. But it's so total that that power of scratching my head appears to be automatic, like it's not under my control. But it's under my supreme will. So Advaita Das continues that Jada Shakti supports the modes of nature. It creates and destroys the universe. The Puranas and the Tantras say that she's called Vishnu Maya, Maya, Mahamaya, and there are allegories saying that she's the mother of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. And she slew the demons, Sumba and Nisumba, that the living entities are under her, and they're in Maya. When liberated, they'll be free from the modes of nature, and they'll be under the Chit Shakti. I'm going to actually ask Gurudev later, when he comes here, what does it mean when it says that there's an allegory that she's the mother of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva?
Yeah.
It's not clear. Because actually she's not. So, but it must mean something, so we'll ask. Then Digambara said, so you mean to say that you're not under some power? So Advaita Das said, yes, we're under power, but we're under the Chit Shakti, spiritual power. So Digambara said, so if you're under power, that means that you're a Shakta too? Shakta generally means worshipper of Shakti or of Durga. And Advaita Das said, yes, we are Shaktas. We're under Srimati Radharani. And by Srimati Radharani's mercy, we serve Krishna. In fact, we're the only real Shaktas. We're the best Shaktas. And non-Vaishnavas are not real Shaktas because they don't worship the real, pure, our original Shakti. In the Narada Pancharatra, Durga tells Krishna, in the forest of Vrindavan, I am your eternal Shakti who adorns your chest with rasa dance. Therefore, when that Durga, who is free from the modes of nature, is called the real Chit Shakti. If you study the Brahma Samhita, I think it's the third verse and maybe verse 41 also. It's explained very elaborately there that Radharani is the real original Durga. And Durga herself says that I get all my qualities and my name and my beauty and everything from Radharani. And that's why it's also stated, quoted in the Brahma Samhita, Radha is Durga and Durga is Radha. Then Digambara said, have you read the Devi Shastra? And Advaita Das said, long time ago I did, because he also used to be in that way. And then Digambara said, what are its teachings? As though testing him. And Advaita Das said, people praise molasses who are not acquainted with sugar candy.
Yeah.
So Digambara said, everybody except you Vaishnavas have great regard for Devi Shastra and Bhagavati Shastra. But you Vaishnavas can't even bear to hear the names of these two books. And then Advaita Das asked him a very interesting question. He said, have you read Devi Shastra? And Digambara said, well, why should I lie to you? No, I haven't. Actually, I was supposed to get a copy, but I was supposed to make a copy, but it never happened. So then Advaita said, well, how could you say that something is good or bad if you never even read it? So then Digambara said, you know, I've been afraid of you since we were kids. You've always been very talkative, but now that you've become a Vaishnava, you're very assertive in expressing your own views, and everything I say you try to cut to pieces. Whereas actually, the first thing Digambara said when he arrived in Godrum was he tried to cut Advaita to pieces. They had, you know, not so much as said hello to each other when he said, you're just like cow dung, you have no use in your life. And still he says, our philosophy is to speak sweet words. Full of hypocrisy and contradiction. Then Advaita Das said, okay, I may be a worthless fool, but I know that there's no pure dharma outside of Vaishnava dharma. You're always against Vaishnava dharma, and therefore you cannot see your own auspiciousness. And by now, Digambara was really angry, and he said, do you mean to say that I've been cutting grass to feed my horse all this time, and that's why I'm doing my sadhana bhajan? Hey, let's go to back to civilization, and then let the civilized people judge who's right, me or you. Then Advaita Das said, he just wanted to get rid of him. So he said, what is the use of material civilization and material science? How will it help you at the time of death? Now he's angry again. Death is certain for everybody. What happens will happen. Mother Nistarani will arrange everything at death. You Vaishnavas are so strange. While alive, there's only five things to do. Meat, fish, wine, women, and wealth. Nothing remains after death, so why should you do so many austerities now? Enjoy! Where are you? When all the five elements merge with the great elements. So just enjoy yourself. Maya will arrange what happens. She's giving us happiness now and liberation at death. Maya, that is. Only she exists. You come from her, and in the end, you go to her. You could tell that he hasn't heard a word that Advaita said all this time. This is why it's a waste of time to preach to the envious, and therefore upeksha. The Majjhima Adhikari does upeksha, he neglects them. Just see her power, how it's manifested in science. Just serve her. Get spiritual power through yogic discipline. Where did you get these weird, far-fetched ideas about the Supreme Godhead? Just merge and remain in Shakti forever. Then Advaita Das said, brother, you're infatuated with this Maya. If there's a God, then what are you going to do at the time of death? What is happiness anyway? Happiness means peace of mind. By giving up material life, I've attained peace of mind. Whereas you are not satisfied. And then I'm just referring to Bhagavad Gita where Krishna confirms that. Lust is just like fire. Fire is raging and it wants fuel. But the more fuel you give it, the more you try to satisfy it, the more it rages. Lust can never be satisfied and it burns like fire. And Prabhupada gave the analogy that if something is reflected in glass in a mirror and you try to enjoy that thing, like you tap the mirror to get the rasagula, and you don't, you just get the glass, right? You just get the mirror. Then you tap harder, and you just get more frustrated, and you just hit the glass and you hurt yourself. And then you tap really hard, and you just break the glass and get all bloody. That's material life, and the pursuit of material enjoyment. So back to Advaita Das, he said, you don't know anything about happiness. You're simply calling out, pleasure, pleasure. And one day you'll just sink in the ocean of sorrow. And Digambara said, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. I'm not concerned about that. But why are you Vaishnavas so against cultured people? Why do you avoid the society of cultured people? So then Advaita said, actually, I haven't avoided the association of cultured people. I have the association of cultured people. But I've given up degenerate people. And then there are two pages which I'll read. And the last is the last few pages of chapter 9, pages, I think, 229 through 32. He's beginning to quote one verse after another. O Bhagavan, we pray that as long as we are bewildered by your illusory potency and are wandering in material existence under the influence of our karmic activities, we may have the association of your premi bhaktas again, birth after birth. Then he quotes the Hari Bhakti Vilas. One should never associate with people who are immersed in non-reality. For by such association, one is deprived of all worthwhile objects of attainment and falls down to a degraded position. In the Katjayana Samhita it says, and this is also to avoid the association of spiritual, so-called spiritual institutions, which are against bhaktas, which are against pure devotees. Like if a spiritual institution is saying, we're serving Krishna, we're serving the disciplic succession, but Narayan Maharaj can't come to our temple. This is actually, what is it called? Vaishnava Praya. Externally Vaishnavas, but inside not. Whereas even somebody who's like a Grihastha Bhakta who's engaged in, working in the world, but he's doing it for the service of Guru and Vaishnavas, he's Vaishnava Praya, Vishaya Praya, Vishayi Praya. He looks like a sense gratifier, but he's not. Then he quotes the Katjayana Samhita. It would be better to live in a cage of fire than to suffer the misery of associating with those who are inimical to the thought of Krishna. Then he quotes the Bhagavatam. If one associates with those who are devoid of virtue, one's good qualities such as truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy, restraint of speech, intelligence, shyness, wealth, fame, forgiveness, control of the senses, control of the mind and fortune completely fade away. Therefore, one should never associate with disgraceful people who are agitated by desires for sense enjoyment. Of course, if you're going to work for a spiritual institution who's against bhakta and then use that money for service of the bhaktas, then that's, you're purifying your activity by that. One should never associate with disgraceful people who are agitated by desires for sense enjoyment, who are foolish, who are engrossed in bodily conception of life, and who are playthings in the hands of women. Then he quotes the Garuda Purana. One may have studied the Vedas and be acquainted with the meaning of all the Shastras, but if he is not a devotee of Sri Hari, he should be understood as the lowest of men. Then he quotes the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam. O King, just as the water of many rivers cannot purify a wine pot, similarly, a person who is averse to Sri Narayan cannot become purified by all different types of atonement, even if they are executed perfectly again and again. Then he quotes the Skanda Purana. The six causes of fall down are to beat a Vaishnava, to slander him, to bear malice against him, to fail to welcome or please him, to display anger towards him, and to not feel pleasure upon seeing him. Now, those were all the verses that he's quoting. Now we're coming to the last paragraphs of this ninth chapter. Digambara, he said, so no auspiciousness. There's no auspiciousness in the immoral association of non-devotees, and no benefit from their association. So Digambara said, well, what a distinguished gentleman I'm having the association with now, that I'm speaking with now. You just stay here with your civilized people, and I'm going home. So Advaita Das said, he knew that he was leaving, and he wanted to close on a pleasant note. So he said, oh, I haven't seen you in such a long time. Now you're here. I know you have to go, but at least stay for some prasadam. Then go. And Digambara said, you know that I have a very strict diet. I only eat havasha, which I guess is the remnants of Kali worship. I just ate anyway, just before I came. Anyway, I'm very pleased to see you. You know, polite. I'll come back if I have time. I can't stay the night because I have so many duties that were given by my guru. So, brother, I'll take my leave now. And then Advaita Das said, okay, well, I'll see you to the boat. Let's go. And Digambara said, oh, no thanks, no thanks. Carry on with your duties. I have so many men with me. Then he left singing the glories of Kali. Oh, you are the creator of Vishnu. Oh, you are the creator of Shiva. So now Advaita could go back to his chanting of Harinam without further obstructions. So how does this chapter apply to us? Oh, in so many ways. How to deal with the non-devotees, even if they're our friends, so-called friends, or they think they're our friends, ex-friends, and relatives, business people, business acquaintances, how to defeat philosophy, or because we all, every one of us, are in the world, and we see the world, and we see advancement of science, we see people who are all dressed up to please each other, so we can see through Advaita Das's eyes instead of our eyes, which are like peacock feathers. In other words, they can't see. So I'll end here. And we'll ask if there's any questions or comments. And also, if there's any questions from the devotees in this room, then I'll just repeat them into the phone.
Yesterday you said, you quoted that in the Kanishka there is a trace of Mayavad. So I'm wondering how that trace of Mayavad manifests, what it feels like, what it looks like.
Okay, Bhadra in the room just asked that yesterday we said that Kanista Adhikaris have a trace of Mayavad philosophy. So the question is, how does that trace manifest? Well, that's at the beginning of Kanista Adhikari. As the Kanista Adhikari advances, he gets more faith in the deity. But Mayavadi philosophy is, they don't believe that the form of the deity is the reality. They think that impersonalism is the reality. So just like I'm trying to approach the threshold of Kanista Adhikari, me, Shamrani Dasi, and I also have Mayavadi in me. That is, I don't have real faith in the deity. I'll bow down to the deity because I know I'm supposed to, because if I don't, I'll go to hell. But I don't really believe that the deity is reality. I think that my body is reality. That's not even Mayavadi. It's just... And I think that if I give up my body, my bodily conception, my attachment to my body, then there's nothing. That's like sunyavadi. So, like that. I'm not really worshiping Krishna because I have faith in his reality. But a kanista adhikara, you know, it says in the Nectar of Instruction, Upadeshamrit, that one should honor Vaishnavas according to their capacity. So one should honor a kanista adhikari by his mind if he's not contaminated by Mayavad philosophy. Otherwise, his association is extremely dangerous because you lose your soul. I don't know if that answers it. Any other? Does anybody in the phone world have a question? Otherwise, somebody else in the Govardhan office world has a question.
So what about Einstein?
What about Einstein?
Yes.
What about him?
Materialistic scientist.
Einstein is a materialistic scientist, yes.
And apparently he gave us so much.
He gave us so much, like light bulbs and...
And all these equations that explain...
All the equations that explain everything.
So, you know, how should we feel, or what should be our attitude towards great scientists?
What should be our attitude towards great scientists?
Like Einstein.
Like Einstein. Well, we use their products, and anybody who's inadvertently served Krishna gets some secretes for that. But if his activities are sinful, then Einstein himself has to go to hell and become a worm in the stool. I'm not saying he particularly, but anybody like him, by previous karma, secretes and sanskars, one becomes very adept in any areas. But then if he uses that for demoniac purposes or engages in sinful activities, then he has to again go down. Because any material acquisition is impermanent. Like a multimillionaire, Prabhupada once quoted that, he quoted a newspaper, an astrological account in a newspaper, but it must have been true, otherwise Prabhupada wouldn't have quoted it, that the ex-prime minister of India, who, you know, by dint of many births of pious activities, came to be to have such a powerful position in India. Later on, he became one of two dogs of a lady in some country, some European country. Hello? Somebody have a question in phone land? Who's this? Who is this? Yes, who is this? Who is this that I'm speaking with? What's your name? Anjali, Dandavad Pranam. Oh, Anjali, Dandavad Pranam to you. From Houston? Dandavad to you. Yes, the question is clear. Wasn't it in your house that I gave the class about Durga and Radha? Yeah, Durga, just like Indra, the residents of Vrindavan say that Krishna is our Indra because he's the original Indra. All names, all qualities, all forms have their origin in Krishna, Vrajendra Nandan Shyamasundar. He's the original Nrisingadev. He rips the gopis with his nails. So he's the original Ananta. He's the original everything. And Gurudev explains, and if you read the book Secret Truths of the Bhagavatam, you'll find this, that Krishna lends part of his names, part of his forms, part of his qualities to others. Krishna is the original Ram, right? Radha Raman. Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Krishna, Vrajendranandam Shyamasundar, is the original Ram. But then we have Balaram, we have Parsaram, we have Ramchandra. But Krishna is the full Ram. The other Rams are partial. So similarly, Radharani is the original Durga. The other Durga is Radharani Shakti, Radharani's shadow. There's only one Shakti, and that is Parashakti, and that is Radharani. All other Shaktis are functions of this Parashakti. Antaranga Shakti, Tatastha Shakti, and Bahiranga Shakti, or Maya Shakti, are all functions of Parashakti, or Chit Shakti, Srimati Radhika. Does that make sense?
So we all come from Radhika. Jai Ho!
Just like Krishna is the original Vishnu. What is that verse in the 10th canto Srimad Bhagavatam? Vikriditam Braja Badubir Idam Cha Vishnu. Perfection of life is achieved when one hears in the disciplic succession continually from the pure devotees about how Vishnu dances with the gopis in the Rasa Leela. Right? But Vishnu is in the heavenly, is in the Vaikuntha planets. But no, the original Vishnu means that Krishna who became many millions and billions of Krishnas who dance with the gopis. And that other Vishnu who's in Vaikuntha is partial Vishnu. His body is the partial form of Brijendra Nanda. His name is the partial Vishnu. Similarly, the Durga with the eight arms and the trident and all those things is a partial Shakti. She's not the original and complete reality Shakti. She's the shadow Shakti. She's the Joni who mixes with Sambhu, Lord Shiva, who is the dim reflection of the glance of Vishnu, whose Shakti is Rama, and Rama is the expansion of Radharani. Does that answer the question? Thank you, Dhanavat. Nice to hear your voice again. Any last question? Okay, we'll end here. And tomorrow we'll discuss in more detail. Tomorrow we'll do chapter 10. And we'll also discuss in more detail how to learn a verse. Okay, Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyasta Kribisandu Bevacha Patita Nam Pavane Bhyor, Namo Namaha, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur Ki Jai, Sri Jaiva Dharma Ki Jai, Gaur Premanandi.
Off the record, Shemarani Einstein was wrong.
Huh?
Einstein was wrong.
Yeah. Okay. Although you can do it right from where you, is he coming right now? Is that him? No. Okay. All right, we'll do that. And of course, he's hearing your obeisances right now. That's not Gurudev, right? Okay. See you tomorrow. Hare Krishna.
That was wonderful. Jai Vadharma, so good.
It's so good. The last and greatest work of Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
I was thinking that another thing we can get from that is, well, at least for me, the Digambara in myself.
In yourself?
Yes. You know? Hiding.
Oh, that's me, actually. Digambara in myself. Okay, go to worship.
There was a contemporary, the name of Godel, and on the line, on the internet, you can find